You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And welcome back, Larry. Thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, sisters, deacons, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. But I have to make a omission. We are without Mother Gabriel, at least for the first half of the program, but we are with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So we are blessed. We are so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and we are truly blessed, all of us, to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer, and we're going to be using our supplication, which is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, every time I read that, I always think of the same thing. When Louisa and we say, it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising, I think of the word secret, because again, our blessed Lord, our blessed Lady uses the word secret often. And again, we cannot take the writings of Louisa and take all the words and just use the definition found in the dictionary, because it's not the case in most cases. For example, a secret in our modern day society, I think, is something nefarious. You know, you're holding back something that, you know, is vital. You know, why are you keeping a secret? But a secret actually is something way, way different. Our Blessed Lady explains what is meant when she and her son state a secret. She says this in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Meditation Number 1. Our Blessed Mother informs us, teaches us that, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a humble compliment, because our Lord and our Lady would not be divulging these truths, these secrets to us, unless, again, they deemed us capable of understanding. So thanks be to God for that. And, you know, that's what Our Lady says. Our Lord says in volume 18, February 18th, 1926, he says, "All these little flames that you see in the endless sea of my will are the symbol of the secret beatitudes, the secret joys, and the secret happinesses that it contains. I say secret because since I have not yet manifested the fullness of the knowledge that the eternal will contains," end quote. So he hasn't given us everything. He said that in scripture too. "There's much more I have to give you, but you're not yet disposed." Well, now he says we are disposed. We're ready to receive it if we wish to receive it. That's what our Lord says. Sister Magdalena, how is everything today?
Everything is great. It's a little cloudy here, and so I'm having a little bit of problems with, it's not migraine headaches, but just a little bit of stuffy head. But I'm okay. Everybody else is okay, I think.
I live with a stuffy head.
It's like my eyes kind of like thick. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, I'm good. Anyways, by the grace of God, we're here. We're so grateful. Without Mother, as always, I've always said this in the past, we feel kind of nervous and kind of feel lost when Mother is not here, because she's just an inspiration to all of us. It's like when she starts talking, it's like the light bulb comes on, and it seems to be I have a little more confidence in Mother is here. But Sister Francesca is here. She's also a little bit, you know, kind of like Mother to me, and I kind of also look up to her with that one. But anyway, we'll try. With the gift of Holy Spirit, we'll be able to push this through. And
well, you know what, Sister, I think I'm going to give you a little bit of help. I was just telling Sister Francesco off air that I had this epiphany of I just thought about grace. I'm thinking about grace and the grace that God gives us, you know, this invisible grace. So I'm going to break the ice, Sister Magdalena, and I'm going to sing you the first line of Amazing Grace. Ready? I'm not a singer. Amazing Grace, so sweet the sound that saved a wrench like me. I'm going to stop there. Now, but that's actually very...
Remember Sister Jacinta, before she became Sister Jacinta, she was Grace.
Yes.
I know, she was Sister Grace. We always said we need Grace, but she's here. You know, but Amazing Grace, you know, that saved a wrench like me. I have to say it also, Grace, I know, has helped me to give me the possibility of being saved. And it's Our Lady, you know, the grace of Our Lady that saved my physical life and hopefully saved my spiritual life. So again, grace is all around us, but grace does actually require a response.
Okay, now a light bulb comes off my mind now. Singing. So Peter, thank you so much for that opening and for that courage.
Oh, I'm listening.
I'm going to
say, don't sing again.
I feel it. I can feel all the graces pouring down on me now. So I guess.
Yeah, Larry almost muted me when I started singing that. I know that for a fact.
It's a great inspiration. So actually, the inspiration that I received as I was praying today was about effects of sin and confession and of confession, January 5, 1900, Volume 3. And I think it's connected to grace, because as I was looking at this and reflecting on this, and I said, I don't think I'd like to share this with Radio Maria today, because it's kind of boring. You know, sin, I'm facing sin, we're all facing sin every day, and it's kind of boring because it's really not, it seems like nothing new. It's over and over, it's kind of like this annoying weak, you know, things that I do that I don't want to do, but I do in a way, and you know, it's kind of boring, but I thought the Lord wants me to share something with this one, because the reading at Mass today is about carrying our cross. Jesus tells us to carry your cross daily, and you know, if you don't mind, I can go ahead and read that passage real quickly from the gospel today, and it's about Jesus says, I just start at the middle. He says, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. For anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake, that man will save it. What gain then it is for a man to have won the world, the whole world, and to have lost or ruined his very self?" So he's talking about the cross, and I think also of sin, because I imagine myself, is there going to be cross in heaven? Probably not. Cross belongs to here on earth, and this cross is supposed to be, this cross is sanctified by Jesus Christ through his crucifixion, so that in our suffering united with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, in divine will, it becomes our salvation. The cross becomes our salvation because it gives us a reality of who we truly are. It gives us self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is very important, especially this season of Lent, when we go to confession, when we repent from our sins, when we prepare ourselves to Calvary and to the resurrection. It's very important that we know who we are in our nothingness, that apart from God, we really cannot do anything. We cannot do nothing. Only in God that we can become everything. And God doesn't want us to be halfway either. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be full of Him, full of God. And that fullness of God is through the divine will. And He gives us so many tools to achieve that. Here in this passage that I'm going to share with you in a little bit is going to confession. So let me go ahead and read the passage in a way. It's not very long. January 5, 1900. As I was in my usual state, I felt I was going outside of myself, and I found my adorable Jesus. But oh, how full of sins I saw myself before His presence. In my interior, I felt a strong desire to make my confession to our Lord. And so, turning to Him, I began to tell my sins, and Jesus was listening to me. When I finished speaking, turning to me with a face full of sadness, He told me, "My daughter, sin is a poisonous and deadly embrace to the soul, if it is grave, and not only to her, but also to all the virtues present in the soul. If then it is venial, it is a wounding embrace, which renders the soul very weak and infirm. Together with her, the virtues which she had acquired also becomes infirm. What a deadly weapon sin is. Sin alone can wound and give death to the soul. Nothing else can harm her Nothing else can but sin alone renders her opprobrious and odious before me. So I'll stop here for a little bit, because there's two kinds of sin. We have the venial sin and we have the mortal sin. Like Mother always tells us, mortal sins needs to be presented to confession, and it needs to have received the sacrament of confession. But venial sin, we can truly repent in our heart and go, when we go to daily mass and we do the confession during mass, it can remove our venial sin. But most importantly also is when we live in the divine will, when we call Jesus to act in our acts, to think in our thinking, just the presence of the divine will in our thoughts, because we ask for it, we desire it, the presence of divine acts in our human acts. That divine presence of the human act, of the divine acts, of the divine thoughts, it removes the filth of our venial sin. And then I'll continue here. He says, Luisa says, while he was saying this, I comprehended the ugliness of sin, and I felt such pain that I cannot even express it. And Jesus, seeing me all contrite, raised his blessed right hand and pronounced the words of the absolution. Then he added, just as sin wounds and gives death to the soul, so does the sacrament of confession give life, heal the wounds, and give back vigor to virtues, and these more or less according to the disposition of the soul. So does the virtue of the sacrament operate. It seemed to me that my soul had received new life. I no longer felt the bother of before, after Jesus gave me the absolution. May the Lord be always thanked and glorified. So here also, according to the disposition. So we really have to have faith. We really have to believe that when we truly repent and sorry for our sins, and we go to confession, and we also call the divine will to act in us to repair all the sins that we've committed, all the damage that we've done, then it's done. So it depends on our faith, on how we really believe in that. And faith comes from knowledge. You know, we read the volumes, we pray to the Lord to give us the understanding, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given to us.
Right. And, you know, sister, also, you know, it works. If we looked at a flow chart, you know, we would see God above, then we'd see below that grace, which is given to us. And grace, of course, gives us another grace, the grace of faith. And then, of course, with faith, then becomes our good works. And that becomes the justification for our salvation. So it's all there. You also mentioned very importantly about, you know, knowing ourselves. During this Lent, I think one thing we can ask our Lord, you know, to petition him, because we're good at doing that, is to show us our defects. Don't show us what we're good at. Show us what we lack, so that we may work on that. Because that's what's going to bring the fullness of the faith in each and every one of us. That's going to help, as you said, that disposition, which again, we have an integral part in playing. We have to accept that grace, convert that grace, have that faith, and then we dispose ourselves. But we're not really disposing ourselves. It's God doing it through us. But he's allowing us to say, yes, I'll accept everything you're giving me, or no, I don't want it. Thanks. But no, thanks. That's not a good thing. Right, sister?
Absolutely. I want to be shown both. God wants to show me what's so wonderful about me. I'm okay with that also.
He'll be busy showing me my defects.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's funny how the Holy Spirit works, because none of us talk about the passages that we're choosing. We have no idea when anybody's going to read, but it all flows together because, you know, what I chose for today has a lot to do with what Sister Magdalena and you were saying, especially about self-knowledge, the importance of self-knowledge. And something I always kind of grappled with the, you know, things I've read in the Divine Will is, well, how do you get self-knowledge if you can't self-reflect, you know? So I read a passage today that I wanted to read a piece from. And it's funny because I didn't just happen to read this passage. It was just kind of like the Lord said that he wanted me to look for it and read it. And he gave me an inspiration. So I just wanted to share it with everybody because, you know, sometimes the questions we have are not only our own, you know, others have it also. So it's from volume 11, September 2nd, 1912. So Louisa says, I was saying to my always lovable Jesus, my only fear is that you might leave me, withdrawing from me. And Jesus, my daughter, I cannot leave you because you do not reflect on yourself, nor do you have any concern for yourself. For one who truly loves me, self-reflections, self-concerns, even in good, are many voids that she forms in love. Therefore, my life cannot fill the soul completely. I am as though put aside in a corner, and they give me the occasion to make my little withdrawals. On the other hand, if one is not prone to reflections on her own concerns, but thinks only of loving me, she takes care of me and I fill her completely. There is not one point in her life in which she does not find mine. And if I wanted to make my little withdrawals, I would have to destroy myself, which can never be. My daughter, if souls knew how harmful self-reflections are, they bend the soul, they lower her, they cause her to keep her face turned inward. And the more they look at themselves, the more human they become. The more they reflect, the more they feel their miseries and become miserable. On the other hand, thinking only of me, of loving me, of being all abandoned in me, makes the soul straight. And by keeping their faces turned to look at me alone, they rise and grow. The more they look at me, the more divine they become. The more they reflect on me, the richer, stronger, and more courageous they feel. I was thinking about Lent today and, you know, how it's focused on, you know, reflecting on our sinfulness and doing penance. But how do you do that when you can't self-reflect? And then just kind of a little light came. It's the part of self-reflection that's wrong is the self part. I was inspired to look at the Italian, but I usually don't read it in Italian, but I went to look at the Italian today to see what it said. And actually the Italian translation said, inopportuno, it used that word, which means like wrong, unsuitable, ill-judged, like inopportune self-reflection. So it's not reflections themselves that are bad. It's when it's self-focused, exactly the word self, like you said before, Peter, we have to have God, you know, show us what's, you know, the defects that he wants to clean up. So just a, kind of a couple of things I jotted down. That helped me, and hopefully it'll help somebody else struggling with the same thing, is that, you know, just to kind of show the difference, self-reflections is me talking to myself, okay? And just one thing I want to point out, just because we, you know, do the sign of the cross before, just because we're before the Blessed Sacrament, I have had many conversations with myself before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, yeah, it doesn't mean, you know, so we really have to kind of be aware of the difference. It's when we're talking to ourselves and we're not letting Jesus get in a word edgewise, or we're trying to kind of nitpick at things rather than allow his Holy Spirit gently to come to us. And a lot of times it's also for our own purposes, our self-reflections. I notice this in myself, is more a concern of how I come off, or how others view me, or how God views me. Not that it's bad for how God views me, but I shouldn't want God to, I shouldn't be concerned about how God views me for my own vain purposes, because I want to look holy before him. But I just, my main purpose should be, how can I love you more, Lord? You know, self-reflections, we rely on our own reason. And, you know, we're all broken individuals. So our judgment is clouded. And a lot of times you can recognize when it is self-reflections that you've fallen into, and not, you know, the healthy reflections that, you know, that we're asked to do as Catholics, is usually discouragement comes from it. You kind of have like a heaviness of spirit, self-condemnation. It's usually circular. You kind of just keep thinking about the same thing over and over again and not really getting anywhere. And really what, you know, we do is, you know, we allow the devil in that way. We fall into desolation, and then we continue to feed that desolation. So when I read this again in the Divine Will, had read it before, it was like I read it in a whole new light, because this is exactly what Jesus is saying. When we self-reflect and do it on our own, we just kind of go deeper and deeper in the mud, even for good reasons. I want to grow in virtue. But if I try to do that by myself, I'm going to grow in less virtue. You know, it's that just is how it happens. But when it's healthy reflections, what it is either me talking to God, asking the Lord, you know, how can I love you more? You know, and usually he responds, you know, sometimes pointing out those defects that block us from loving him. The healthy reflections are listening to the Lord, you know, throughout the day is his Holy Spirit so gently kind of whispers in our ear, and in those moments, we don't have to bat him away saying, nope, I don't want to look at myself. No, that's the Lord's voice that wants to show you something for love of you. Because not only do our defects keep us from loving God, but they also keep us in bondage. You know, we're not free when we're trapped in our defects. And just a lot of the fruits of that you could notice when you know it's the Holy Spirit, is that you do see truth about yourself. some of the same truth that maybe you see about yourself with the self-reflections. But this time when God shows you the truth, he does it gently and he does it with love. So you're filled with hope and you're filled with love and you still feel like a beloved child. You trust in God's mercy. You have hope and gratitude. You have a lighter spirit and you can repent still with sorrow, but also with peace at the same time. And a lot of times, I just heard it today. I was listening to a unrelated talk, but the priest was talking about, like, a lot of times you know, when we know it's the voice of the Lord, when consolation follows, you know, desolation is part of the spiritual life. Absolutely. It's not like we're always doing something wrong when we're in desolation, but we have to make sure we don't feed it. And when we are in consolation, that's when we really have to pay attention to the voice of the Lord, because he speaks to us there also. So I just, that was something that was helpful to me. And hopefully, you know, during this Lent, we can really, when we do our examinations of conscience, whether before confession or maybe at night, you know, do it in a different way, you know, asking rather than, you know, me try to nitpick at things, just asking the Lord, you know, reveal to me how you want me to love you more. And he will answer that, you know, in his time and really gently and with peace and love.
Yeah, actually, that was a very, very positive reflection and delineation between how something, you know, even with self-reflection, can be positive if we include God, or a bit negative if we don't include God. You know, it's it reminds me of St. Paul. St. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And the interesting thing about that is also, you know, we talk about sin, of course. We're talking about sin. We're talking about grace. And I'd like to just read this, if I may. St. Paul, struggling with his personal sin in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Quote, "And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me," quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," end quote. So in our weakness, we are strong, as St. Paul so articulates to us. And it's gratifying for that also. Back to you, sisters.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this from St. Paul. And also the sisters, like, it's really kind of encouraging and consoling at the same time. And another figure that comes to my mind that I really like, I mean, I will probably be boring to the sisters because I'm always mentioning John the Baptist. Yeah, they're laughing. Yes, it's really like a Lenten figure. I mean, for me, at least, because and he really, I don't think he was, you know, being so penitential because of like discipline or something, but because of the zeal, because of the love. Like, his whole focus, his whole life, his whole being was, you know, to prepare the way for the Lord. You know, his whole shouting, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." It's really kind of reminds me of us and of our time. Maybe I read this passage after the break, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think that would be better. You know, that way, sister, we don't rush things. It just seems that your time to speak is always before the break, and you're always squeezed for time. So we don't.
That's right. I don't know. It's my fate.
All right, let me take this opportunity then before the break. I'm going to lead into something, but let me start with our catechism, which is a great place to start. Article 2001, quote, "The preparation of man for the reception of grace is already a work of grace. This latter is needed to arouse and sustain our collaboration in justification through faith and in satisfaction through charity," end quote. So we talked about charity before. We know that Jesus tells Louisa that charity is the pinnacle, is the bolt that keeps all the other virtues in place. Actually, it's the stimulus for all other virtues. And, you know, we can be charitable in a myriad of different ways. We can be financially charitable. We can be spiritually charitable. We can be charitable in our mode of operation. We can be charitable in a lot of different ways. But Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. Okay, there are no commercials, nobody trying to sell you something you don't need. But again, what does that do? Well, it means that there's a need for our charity to help Radio Maria. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us, select the donate radio button, or you can call them at 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us. or 888-408-0201, and like to make that that incentive again. Anyone calling in for a one-time donation or a recurring monthly donation, which is much more preferable because it's nice to know what's coming and when, we're going to offer a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta. And this relic prayer card, number one, has the contact information for the Archdiocese of Trani. So when you experience your miracle, we want you to contact them, of course, and register it. But also in this relic card is a piece of Luisa's clothing. Again, this will be given to anyone making a donation. And you can do it now live. You can do it when you're listening to the archives, if you're listening to this evening, or on any of the rebroadcasts. So anytime you're hearing this, just call into Radio Maria at 888-408-0201, mention the relic card, make your donation, and we'll send that out to you ASAP. You know, God's telling us that he's been working 6,000 years. Why is it taking him so long? Because he wants to have everything lined up for our futile efforts at times. You know, we're wretched souls. We don't do anything well without God, and we try to do things without God. He's been working, and he says now, it's it. We're here. We finally arrived. Now he's taking us back to the other side, finally. I finally arrived here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, Larry, welcome back. We're with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. We're talking about a little bit of everything, but we're talking about grace. We're talking about sin. We're talking about preparation this Lent. And, you know, I can't help but, sisters, to keep going back to the catechism, because, we're just talking off air. The catechism really has perfectly poised the church to receive this gift. In fact, if you go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and you go to the page of the Catholic Catechism and the Divine Will, you'll see 40 or 50 or 60 entries in the Catechism that really relate to the gift of living the divine will. You know, we talked about, grace is the preparation of man for the reception of additional grace, and then, of course, faith. I'd like to go through two more quick points in the catechism, then go back to the sisters. Article 2002 states, quote, God's free initiative demands man's free response, end quote. So grace given, unless utilized, is going to fall by the wayside. So it's going to be returned to sender. Right? Like the song, Return to Sender. I'm not going to sing that. Trust me, sisters, I won't do that. But okay, that's 2002. 2005, Article 2005 of our Catholic Catechism states, since it belongs to the supernatural order, grace escapes our experience and cannot be known except by faith. So this tight correlation between faith and grace. Grace cannot be realized without faith. And last but not least, this speaks of the divine will. It shouts the divine will. Article 2003 of our Catholic Catechism, quote, grace is first and foremost the gift of the Spirit who justifies and sanctifies us. But grace also includes the gifts that the Spirit grants us to associate us with his work, to enable us to collaborate in the salvation of others, and in the growth of the body of Christ, the church, end quote. God tells Louisa, creation is not complete yet until everyone comes back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, the prelapsarian heir of Adam. He's taken us back. He's ready. Are we ready? Are we willing? Are we able? We are able. Are we willing? That's the question. Back to you, sisters. I think your microphone's off, sister. Just check the mic.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great.
I have the passage that is connected with this, what you said, from volume 30, January 7, 1932. The divine will can be wanted, commanded, operative, and fulfilled. An example is the creation. So Louisa is saying, my following the divine volition continues. I feel it always over me, in act of enclosing itself in my acts, to have the contentment of saying to me, your act is mine, because inside of it there is my life that has formed it. It seems to me that with an invincible patience, but loving, sweet, amiable patience that enraptures my soul, it observes, it counts, when I must operate, move my step, etc., to enclose its operating life and the moving of its step in mine, as though wanting to imprison itself in my act, while it remains immense as it is. But who can say what I experience and feel under the empire of the divine will? I am always the little ignorant one who can only say the ABC of the divine will, like us here in the kindergarten. In many things I lack the terms, and while my mind is full, and who knows how many things I would like to say, yet I try to speak and cannot find the words to express myself. I often feel like that also. And therefore I move on. Then my sweet Jesus, surprising me, told me, my daughter, my will has surprising and different ways of acting, and it acts according to the dispositions of the creatures. So as we were saying, how important are these dispositions? Many times it makes known what it wants, but it leaves it up to the disposition of creatures to do it or not do it. And this is called wanted will. Other times to the volition it adds the command,
and it gives double graces so that the command may be executed. And this is for all Christians. Not doing this means being not even Christians. Another way is the operative one. It descends into the act of the creature and operates as if the act of the creature were its own. And therefore, as its own act, it places in it its life, its sanctity, its operative virtue. But in order to come to this, the soul must be accustomed to the wanted and commanded will. In other words, to have these dispositions for which we are preparing during the Lent also, which prepares the void in the human act in order to receive the operating act of the divine fiat. Sister Francesca was telling about this voids of self-reflection also, but it does not stop. The operative act calls for the fulfilled act, and the fulfilled act is the holiest, the most powerful, the most beautiful act, the most refulgent with light that my divine will can do. And because it is its fulfilled act, everything it has done is enclosed in this act in such a way that one can see flowing and enclosed in it the heavens, the sun, the stars, the sea, the celestial beatitudes, everything and everyone. And I, as though surprised, but how can it be that one act alone can enclose everything? It seems incredible. And Jesus added, why incredible? Can my will perhaps not do everything and enclose everything in the great, just as in the smallest act? You must know that in the fulfilled acts of my will enters the inseparability of everything it has done and will do. Otherwise, it would not be a single act, but would be subject to a succession of acts, which cannot be, either in our divine being or in our will. And besides, the creation is a tangible example. All created things are inseparable among themselves, but one distinct from the other. So, as you said, Peter, like, really, God is waiting for us to do this act that he wants to complete this fulfilled act. And it's really kind of, as Jesus explained here, so there's the wanted will, the commanded will, the operative, and then the fulfilled is kind of the graduation, like the succession of the... I kind of feel really the Lent is the great time to make yourself more and more disposed to do this. And also when you were mentioning the things from the catechism, one thing that really reading catechism is so important in these times is like it's like a weapon against confusion. And it reminded me, I read recently one article from Professor Daniel O'Connor about the Jezebelian society, something like he mentioned, you know, from the book of Revelation, there's the to the church in Thyatira, like it says, I have something against you that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who is like, I don't remember now, but like, so she was killing the prophets, and you know, she told to her husband to kill this man Naboth for to take his vineyard, something like that, the story. I mean, but that's also nowadays the name of a demon. People are actually possessed with the demon of that name, and it's really like the thing is, it's so much confusion. People think it's like compassion to tolerate this kind of behavior, like connected, you know, with the abortion, with the homosexuals, and all these kind of perversions, and people are more and more confused that, like, because of, you know, we need like to help and to tolerate and to be compassionate, but really, reading the catechism, it's so important to know which things can really not be tolerated.
Right. You know, our Lord, our Lady spoke about that at Fatima. There'll come a time, there'll be a diabolical disorientation. I think that's what you're alluding to, exactly where we are now. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Everything, Balikdad, Sister Magdalena, everything will be in a state of confusion. And why? Because God's rattling everything right now. He's getting everything. He's shaking off everything that's not good and that's not holy. And that's causing for a disruption. You know, let's go to John really quick. He said, quote, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And then we couple that with Acts 15:11. "But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will." Again, so, end quote. So we're saved by grace, not by faith alone. That's like, you know, being in the midst of a drought, a severe drought. And we have faith that God's going to take care of us. Well, he gives us the grace of rain. Well, now it's a response. Are we going to put the buckets out and collect the rain? Or are we just going to say, wow, it's a nice rainy day, and then be back in a drought tomorrow? So we have a response. And we have a response. Everyone listening right now has a response. You're being introduced, even to a little point, to the gift of living in the divine will. It's your obligation now to do a little bit more homework and see if this is for you. It's for everyone, but Jesus says it's not for everyone at this time. I think it's for everyone listening right now. God's calling us. As Christina Lenway in the song, "Finally," we finally arrived. We have to recognize that. There's no more waiting. Our petitions have been answered. Jesus, I trust in you. He's given us everything we need. Sisters?
Hello. Yeah, so Jesus gives us a lot of graces throughout the day in many different ways. And a great portent of grace, where we can get a lot of graces, is through the Holy Mass. So like Jesus is giving us like so many graces throughout the day, and it's up to us for us to conform with those graces he's giving us. And what I like to read today is from the Hours of the Passion, and I really do believe during this Lent season, it's really important to read the Hours of the Passion, because you can see how much Jesus suffered, not only in his humanity, but in his divinity. Actually, Jesus tells Luisa that what he suffered in his humanity, what people saw on the outside, it was only like a shadow of what the divinity allowed him to really suffer in the inside. So I just like to read from the just a short passage from the Reflections and Practices from the fourth hour, from 8 to 9 p.m., the Eucharistic Supper. Jesus is hidden in the host to give life to all. In his hiddenness, he embraces all centuries and gives light to all. In the same way, hiding ourselves in him, he will give life and light to all with our prayers and reparations, even to the heretics and to the unfaithful, because Jesus does not exclude anyone. So when I was reading this, how Jesus embraces all centuries and gives light to all souls, it actually reminded me of like the image of the sun, because I don't know exactly which volume it's from. But Jesus tells Luisa that that grace is also symbolized by the sun. So basically, the more we allow ourselves to be exposed to the sun, the more grace we'll receive. And then continuing on, what should we do in our hiddenness? In order to become similar to Jesus Christ, we must hide everything in him: thoughts, glances, words, heartbeats, affections, desires, steps, and works. Even our prayers, we should hide them in the prayers of Jesus. And just as loving Jesus embraces all centuries in the Eucharist, we will also embrace them. So when we receive communion, we can receive it like in the divine will, and we can even make reparation. We can say, Jesus, I receive Holy Communion now in the divine will to make reparation for all those who are receiving you sacrilegiously, and on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future, who have never received you or will never receive you. And connecting with our topic of grace today, I like to read just some small passages from Maria Volturta, The Notebooks, from 1943, because Jesus talks to her so beautifully about grace. So this is from June 6th. So Jesus tells her, "Grace is to possess the light, power, and wisdom of God in yourselves. That is, to possess intellectual likeness to God, the unmistakable sign of your affiliation in God. And then in another place, Jesus tells her, grace is to possess the Father, to live in the Father. Grace is to possess the Son, to enjoy the infinite merits of the Son. Grace is to possess the Holy Spirit, to benefit from His seven gifts. Grace, in short, is to possess us, the triune God, and for your mortal person to be surrounded by the hosts of angels who worship us in you. So it's really important to correspond to the graces Jesus has for us, because God gives, and later in this notebook, Jesus also tells her that God gives like grace to everyone, but the reason that some people like seem to have more grace than others is because of the way they preserve it. Thank you.
That's right. Or accept it. You're right. Preserve it. Accept it. You know, and you mentioned also, this is a very important, you mentioned again, I hope I paraphrase you right. You said that this is this gift of the divine will, it's available to everyone. And Jesus says that. He says it in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Quote, my daughter, I had to do it in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be available in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. And he goes on to say, it is true that the Most Holy Eucharist is center, but who instituted it? Who constrained my humanity so that it might be enclosed within the little circle of a host? Wasn't that my will? The divine will is the umbrella over everything. That's good. Hello, Sisters Gloria.
Hello.
Speaking of good.
Hi. Yes, so today I was listening all the sisters talk, and then I was also thinking about, you know, how we should, you know, live our Lent. And then Sister Francesca was sharing about like self-reflection. And then, you know, like we always think that what should we renounce? Like what should we give up during the Lent? And, you know, when we reflect on ourselves, our faults, mistakes, and sins, it really like gives us heavy spirit, and it puts us into darkness, despair, disappointment, and then you get upset, and then you don't like about yourself or like because you have sinned. But then for me, like confession is truly like a healing sacrament for me, because every time I go, I meet the merciful God. I meet the loving and forgiving God through the priest, who is the Christi persona. And he really shows me that I am lovable, even with all my shortcomings and my sins. And the priest, he still loves me without any judgment. And he still sees me, in me the beauty. He never loses the sight of my human dignity. So I really encourage everyone to go to confession during the during this Lent, and truly meet and experience the loving and forgiving God. And so I was thinking, how can we repair, you know, our sins? And then I remember the love cover.
Well, I think we lost the microphone, Sister. I heard a click.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Now we're back. Okay. Okay, good. That's good.
Okay. So this is a passage from volume 18, August 9th, 1925. Now, while I was fusing myself in the holy divine will, in order to return God in love for all that he did in creation, out of love for the creatures, a thought told me that it was not necessary to do that, that this way of praying was not pleasing to my sweet Jesus, and that these are all inventions made up by my mind. And my always adorable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, you must know that this way of praying, that is to return God in love for all the things he has created, is a divine right and forms part of the primary duty of the creature. The creation was made out of love for man. Even more, our love was so great that had it been necessary, we would have created as many heavens, suns, stars, seas, earth, plants, and everything else for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own. So when I read the passage, I was like, ooh, this is mind-blowing, because God would have created a universe for me, for each one of our souls. And that's why we truly have to always remember that we have to thank God and give him our praise and glory that is due, because he loves so much. And we are born out of, not out of some reluctance, but we are the fruits of immense love of God. And each one of us has such a great value and so precious in the eyes of God. And we are called by God, each by name. And that's why we can tell, you know, the sun is mine, the water is mine, the earth, the water, the ocean, fire, the air, everything is mine, you know, as like the John of Cross said, and also so also did Saint Paul. Everything is ours because he created it for us, for our sake. So how can we respond to this love? By giving him our praise, our glory and our praise in the name of all generations. And that was Jesus's prayer, and that was the prayer of Our Lady. So we gotta infuse our will with their will, and then follow all the acts that he did, especially through the works of redemption, through the redemption, creation, and sanctification. So let us remember during this Lent that God our Father, he's such a loving God. He doesn't punish us or takes life away when we sin. But, you know, sometimes our past experience, our wounds and sins, it, you know, distorts our image of God. It gets reflected on the image of God, and then it scares us away, and then pushes away from God. So I really hope that during this Lent season that we all get healed from our wounds, so that, you know, after that we truly can enter the Pascha with Jesus, and then resurrected together with Jesus with the restored glory. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Gloria. Sister Gemma, well, we've come to the end. So can you give us a few words? Again, we've got about a minute. Sorry about that. But maybe some final thoughts or something you feel empowered to share with us.
Well, I was going to read something from volume 30, that basically was saying that how important are the rounds, because Jesus create everything for us. So as mother is not here, and I haven't heard the word rounds, so just do rounds.
We did now.
And put your I love you on all the things that you see, because everything is a gift from God to all of us.
Amen.
Yes, it is. You're right. It is a gift.
Sister Gemma.
I'll end with a couple of quotes again from the Catechism. Catechism, Article 1996. Quote, our justification comes from the grace of God. And last but not least, Article 1997. Quote, grace is a participation in the life of God. End quote. It's all here. It's all been given to us. And whatever you can give to Radio Maria, just to recap on that, please call 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Any donation will receive a relic card, which includes a piece of Louisa Picaretta's clothing. We know how important relics are. When the hemorrhaging woman touched the tassels of our Lord, she was instantly healed. It's faith. Faith and grace enables that faith. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters. Love you all.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, everybody. Ciao, ciao. Ciao.